I think I heard Hal and Mike Riley.
You did.
Like playing Name That Tune. Or Name
Darren
That
Mancuso.
What's up, Darren?
You got Hello. Ben here as well.
Hey, Ben. Yeah, Ben, should we just jump in?
Yeah, sure.
Bring a salesperson on?
Not since we emailed earlier.
No. I just meant that's the topic du jour.
Yeah, that's what I need to work on. Apparently, we haven't had time to call any leads. Well, a few leads, but
that's exactly it. You get somebody on the phone, and I don't know which office hours you plugged into, but you get somebody dedicated to it. Typically it doesn't take long before things start popping. So to kind of review that email, it's really, post the ad. Craigslist works, Indeed.com works. Hey, Darren, where did you post for your sales team?
Craigslist and Indeed.
Okay. So you posted on both of those.
Where'd you get results?
Yeah, and then what's that?
Where'd you get your results from?
I got much better results from Indeed. It was a lot more expensive, but I got over 100 resumes from Indeed, and I probably only got, 10 maybe from Craigslist.
Okay.
So the one thing about Indeed, though, is they allow you to set your daily limit as far as how much you want to spend. And I think I set mine to, I chose to spend more money per day and get the leads in quicker, so I wasn't waiting. So I'd rather get, 25 resumes in a few days rather than waiting 10 days. So I went with $20 a day spend limit. And what I didn't realize is that you have to go in and shut it off, or else you'll just keep spending $20. So
how many days did it take to get 100 in? That's a lot to sort through.
I think the overall, before I realized I was still spending money, I was probably 30 days into it. So I spent between like $400 and $600 for the ad. But I mean,
you probably could have run it for a week or two.
But here's the good news is that I have 100 leads, and I also hired two more people from that group of, like you said, those leads don't go bad, and you could use them for your disposition manager. You can hire a second salesman. You can.
Yep.
So they're not going to waste.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
So that's where he ran them, Ben. He was looking for somebody local. That probably works best. You could have somebody remote, like Rob's guy, for instance. He was kind of in their circle already. They knew about Chris. He lives down in Phoenix. Rob and Brad bought him. He came up for 2 weeks on his own dime, basically to work out of the office. They did some training. He had a little bit of background. He not in a sales position for somebody else, but buying and selling his own deals. Just couldn't really get the momentum behind the business. And so, again, they had a little bit of experience to work with. He came out to the office for 2 weeks, flew back home, and, has just been working out of his home office since. But typically, salesperson will be here local, so you can do some training with them. That could be a remote, position, obviously, down the road. But it's really about that DISC test, and I know I put that in the email. Are you familiar with DISC at all?
Only what I've heard on the past office hours a little bit, so yeah.
Yep, so that's really the key. I mean, get a personality in there that fits.
Okay.
That's the thing. You try and motivate in a sales type position, somebody that's not, motivated by kind of the carrot out in front of them and that kind of thing. And you'll just, you'll both be frustrated. You'll be frustrated trying to motivate them, and they'll be frustrated trying, getting paid that way. So, the D's and I's are the salespeople for the most part. And Rob, he doesn't waver off it. He tried a few times in the past. He and his wife just sat down. They talk a lot, they talk a lot about the business together, and they just don't waver from it anymore.
Okay.
Let the DISC test, determine what's going on. You're going to hire an accountant. You're probably not going to hire a D or an I, right? Those are going to be the other personalities, and that's who you want. You know, bookkeeper, executive assistant, totally different personality than what you want on the sales team. So that's really, you know, I went through Rob's process, and everybody, I sent Ben an email. Some of you are familiar with it, but he posts the ad. He reviews the incoming resumes, you know, narrows it down to the couple that he wants to go to a first phone interview with, has a conversation. If those seem promising, he goes to a DISC test, gets the results back of that. If he's got, you know, in this kind of scenario, like a salesperson. Actually, Rob put Brad through the DISC test. They were talking about working together, and Brad was going to, you know, be the primary day-to-day guy over the real estate. And so Rob said, all right, I got to have a DISC test on Brad, make sure this fits, you know, and he's a high D like Rob is, you know, that driving type personality. But anyway, he goes to the DISC test, assuming that checks out for the position. He usually goes either to a second phone interview, or if he's got a good feeling about him, Rob and his wife take him to dinner. And this is kind of the funny part, and I put this in the email, and it wasn't, Ben, I'll explain to you why it's a little bit humorous, but so if they're married, Rob says he really doesn't, he doesn't go to dinner with just the applicant. He's like, you know, and he doesn't say it's a must, but he goes, great. You know, through the conversation, they figure out married, dating, whatever. And if spouse, then he says, when can the two of you go to dinner with my wife and I? And if in a relationship, still tries to get both, and it costs more at dinner, but he kind of chuckles when he explains it. He says, if the person you're looking at is married or dating crazy, quotes, in quotes, then that's coming to work with them.
Yeah, sure.
And so, yeah, so he wants to get both of them there and then get them outside of an interview, outside of a business setting, casual dinner. They usually go to sushi. You know, Rob and his wife just dig sushi. So not super high-end, but not Applebee's. And then, you know, they go out and they just get, you know, they get them outside of a work environment and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll take my 2- and 5-year-old and then throw a wrench into it.
Right. See how they handle kids. And, yeah, so that's his process, and it goes from there. So, you know, there's not a whole lot of rocket science in it other than instead of just the gut feeling, rely on the DISC test because it's accurate. It really is. What else,
great.
Ben? Any other questions on the topic?
Not today. As I get into it, I'm sure I'll have some more. So,
yeah, let us know.
Just gotta get
good stuff.
Get that ad out there and get moving on it.
Yeah, that'll be the step. And then the next thing, you know, you just heard Darren say he took another person and put him on the disposition side. So when you look at Rob's operation, he's got sales side, getting, you know, talking to sellers, all the leads funnel their way, getting on the phone with sellers, getting deals under contract. Then it moves over to the disposition side, which is a different group of people, and they're working the deals to the buyer's list. And they're both on an incentive-based pay. So the sliding scale, 10 to 20% of gross profits generated. So if Rob and Brad keep the deal, they put a $6,000 wholesale fee on it. And then the you know, on the sales side, there's a 10 to 20%. And they their number is $17,000 a week. That's what Rob's sales team number is. Bring in $17,000 or more on a weekly basis, resets on Sunday at midnight, hit the 20%. Now, nothing gets paid until the deal is closed, but they're just tracking. Okay, this deal, 123 Main Street, was out of this week. And this week, you know, Chris did whatever, $24,000 in wholesale fees. And so that thing closes and, you know, he gets 20% of it. Dispositions is another 10 to 20%. So if everybody's kicking butt, Rob and Brad are making 60% on the transactions. That's how they have it set up.
They hit $17,000 in a week gross, then they bump to 20%?
They bump to 20, yep.
Okay.
And you can do a 10% here, 15 here, 20 here. You can do a flat 20. You can do whatever you want. But, you know, we were talking last week on office hours about, you know, your salespeople are the rainmakers. So, you know, you get somebody good, obviously you've got to have a mutual, you know, an agreement that works for both sides, but, you know, keep them on board, pay them well. You know, Darren's in the middle of deals. I think it was Aaron. I can't remember. Aaron Rose was on, you know, salesperson in. They've got people. I think it was Aaron. John's got a VA on the phone. You know, when you have somebody dedicated to making these calls and they're good, they'll, you know, they'll turn on the, open the floodgates a little bit for you, which is the goal, obviously.
Sure.
So, yeah, so once you get salesperson on board and they're kicking, you've got a couple positions. Dispositions, you can bring that in when the timing is right. And then the other one is a leads manager. Because that's going to be a relatively full-time gig based on how many salespeople, how busy they are, how active, you know, just feeding the machine. And so, you know, those are the three moving pieces. Now, Rob and Brad have some executive assistants in the mix as well, helping, you know, coordinate closing, shuffle paperwork, that kind of thing. But those are kind of the three moving parts. And so, you know, we were talking to Darren last week about, he brought a salesperson on. Deals are starting to move. And so, you know, the question was, when do we hire dispositions? And the answer was now. You know, get them on board. You're paying these people on a commission off closings. So it doesn't cost you anything to get them into place. And we'll get Darren's update here. But, you know, those two pieces can come into play very quickly, as well as the leads manager. So I've talked about the young guy that Rob and Brad are using. He was he started as an unpaid intern, another college kid that they knew. He just knocked it out of the park for like 2 or 3 months, and they said, hey, we got to start paying this guy. So they put him on board. He's going to go back to school, but he's going to keep working with them. And then the plan is, you know, I mean, things change, life happens, but over the summer, he's going to come back on full time. So he's posting ads for bird dogs, talking to the bird dogs, getting them trained, getting the leads coming in, you know, setting up the campaigns in FreedomSoft, kind of coordinating that whole piece, getting with the VA, making sure the VA has leads skip traced so that they can be moved over to the sales team and keep feeding the machine. So doesn't take a big team. They're paying their leads person hourly. That was part of the conversation last Thursday as well. How do you want to pay that spot? Up to you. A few different ways to do it. If you want to make that commission based, or if you just want to get somebody that's really organized, can kind of run a few pieces. You know, maybe a college student can work part time for you and just manage leads. They're good with the tech, that kind of thing. So, but those pieces, you can go from, hey, let's talk about a salesperson to, you know, bringing on one, two, or three almost simultaneously. And it's a good way to go, quite honestly. So you guys move at the speed that's right for you and your brother, but it'll be, you know, get it moving. You get a good salesperson, I mean, you're going to give them good leads. They're vacant house leads. So I can't remember who it was Thursday, but they said, hey, our salesperson, you know, 5 calls in, and we've got contracts on the table. So they can turn it on quick. Which is it's obviously what everybody's after, but yeah, so get ready for it. You hand great leads to a good phone salesperson, and they'll turn the rain on.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, for sure. Who else? I know Darren's on, and John, and I heard a couple others. A few more beeps on there. Who wants to jump in? Darren, you just want to go?
Sure.
Since we were chatting already.
What's that?
Since we were talking already with Ben there, I know
you're
back into those resumes.
Yep. So I've had two really good phone interviews with two separate people, and I gave both of them the disc test.
Yeah.
And I just got the results, and today I haven't had enough time to review them yet.
Okay.
But what I think I'm going to do is add one of them on as a second acquisitions manager, and I'm going to add the other guy as a dispositions manager. So, and the reason why I thought to do that was because the one guy, he was a traveling salesman for a company, and he was on the road a lot and just had a new baby, and he's like, I got to get off the road. So he actually quit his position, came home and went and got a job at, like, Home Depot at their pro desk.
Okay.
And so he's working there a couple days a week, and then 2 days a week he said he'll come into the office and I could train him to be – I thought I was going to train him to be my dispositions manager, but I feel like I need a full-time person right out of the gate for disposition, so I'm going to hire the other guy
gotcha.
To do that role. And then this
I
guy
like
can
it.
Come in and just fill in 2 days a week and give us extra leads.
Yep. So you'll have basically a full-time salesperson, a part-time salesperson, and then a relatively full-time dispositions person.
Right, right.
Yep.
And so I haven't seen the results of the test yet, and I haven't taken them to dinner, but I know the one guy, and I feel like he's going to be pretty good. And the
yeah.
other guy, I don't know him at all yet, so I got to meet him in person.
Right.
But that's the update on that. As I promised, I will be hiring. And today was my first day in my new office.
How was it?
And it was good. It was a change, but I can just see now
yep.
that we're ready for growth. You know, we've got enough
cool.
room for eight people. We've got eight desks, and
nice.
I just know I don't have any limits now. I can just go. I can
ramp
probably get more than eight desks in there. So
yeah, so you can. I mean, yeah, you're going to need this leads person, and then you're going to want to turn on another market or two. I would think here in the near future. That's not too far out.
Right,
I would
now.
Guess. Yep.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now. As a matter
cool.
of fact, I got to get my assistant, my guy in the Philippines, back online and skip trace another group of 250 leads that I have just sitting there. So,
right. Yeah, that's going to become, I mean, you obviously you want to feed this engine.
Right.
You know, all the pieces are critical, but you're going to be generating some leads here in big volume.
I know. I'm going to need it. But my guy's really only getting through about 20 leads a day. He's not
okay.
really – he's not cranking through them like
– So 100-ish a week.
Yeah, 100 a week. But he's really – I feel like he's being really thorough with the leads that he has. And he's really
yeah. –
we probably have about five or six people interested in selling us their house. And the big news for today is we got our first two under contract in Pittsburgh. So –
Nice.
That's Sawyer making the calls, getting the lead,
yep. Yep.
Running the numbers, coming up with the offer.
Yep.
And he just signed him today. We've been – the one thing we're learning, though, is that if you don't move quickly with these people, it's hard to get them back on the phone, and you just spend a lot of time calling and calling and calling just to get them to pick up the phone, you know. For,
right. Yep.
To the next
well, that,
call or the next –
That's why I have – that. I mean, that's sales 101 is the follow-up and just crunching. That's why you got to have somebody on there.
Yeah.
If you're not there yet, it's not to say that you can't. It's just it depends on what speed you want to move at, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, you've got basically a full-time flipping gig. Ben's got a full-time gig.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just depends on, you know, what's the speed. But, yeah, when you get somebody in that position and that's what they're focused on, those calls get
right.
made. So. To produce.
Right.
Yep.
So I'm trying to think. So we've got two contracts signed today, so I'll be working those until I get my disposition manager up and running. I also got
yep.
another one in Cleveland under contract myself this morning that I could either buy or wholesale for, you know, I think I'm going to try to make 12 on it. So
heck yeah.
Push that. Yeah.
That's the easy button. Yeah, your next
though.
Few deals – Here's the thing. There are always going to be good deals out there.
Yeah.
You'll get to decide. I'm not going to point you in one direction or the other. But, you know, we were talking about it on Thursday is the wholesaling game is – that's the new piece to you, right? So,
yeah.
You know, funnel a couple through there so that flipping is completely comfortable, wholesaling is completely comfortable, get Pittsburgh
right.
moving, out of state will be completely comfortable.
Right.
That, you know, I mean, your comfort zone here is expanding at a rapid rate. I mean, you haven't brought team members on. Now you're bringing on three.
Right.
You haven't wholesaled a deal before. That's about to go down. You haven't bought out of state
right.
before. We're about to knock that one out. So, keep the momentum going. I mean, you'll do the right thing. Don't worry about – here's the thing with wholesaling is, yes, there could be a big check on the back end, but – a lot of things have to fall in place for a great fix and flip to come through. There's a lot of time involved.
Right.
Right. You know, you're in this growth stage, and this is a little bit my recommendation here. Every business, no matter what it is, needs cash flow. And so
right.
you're staring at a potential $12,000 quick payday. I love the fix and flip games. It's my favorite part of everything we do here, right? I mean, you get to turn a beater into something beautiful. It's really cool. It has some, you know, it's just a really fun thing to do beyond even the money, but get cash flow in the business solved.
Yeah.
And then put the flips in on top of that. And that's some of the conversation we've been having about it. It removes a lot of the stress.
Yeah.
Because, you know, money's coming in anyway. If you say, hey, this is a $75,000 profit. Let's just, cash flow is already solved. You know, we've got wholesale deals moving. Let's just take this one down ourselves. And it totally changes the flip games.
Right.
When it's secondary.
It makes it way more fun. And
It moves primary to secondary. And secondary comes with less stress than primary. When it's primary income versus secondary. Because things can go sideways on a fix and flip. Right?
Yep.
That's just the fact of it. They're more risky. Risk is higher. The potential payday is higher, but risk is higher than the wholesale gain. So, yeah.
Right. So,
Hal fired, I was talking to him last week. He fired his GC and has 13 projects. And so I'm sure we'll get his update here in a few, but it has that component to it. And it's just a reality. Yeah. So anyway.
So I feel like I'm almost there with what, you know, my goals were for last week, and I'm moving forward. But so my new questions for this week are, you know, to try to move in the right direction on top of where I'm at is. So I gave a contract to, you know, agreement, subcontractor agreement to my sales guy. And so the question that we have, which is when we collect one of those non-refundable deposits for an assignment fee, can I pay my sales guy, can I pay him just off of monies received versus closings, which I would feel like it's kind of.
Yeah, Rob pays off closings.
Yeah.
When all is said and done. Things can still go sideways in there, but he's going to pay off closings.
Yeah, but once you collect a non-refundable acquisition or a assignment fee, isn't that money in the bank, or is it not money in the bank?
Yes. Technically, it is. Yep.
Here's what I could do, and
I don't know. Yeah, I'm thinking there's a couple options on here. I'm just telling you how Rob does it.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get some of these guys over the hump because I can see it coming that even as good as he is and we have stuff under contract, I'm going to try to sell it as quickly as possible. Getting these guys to go from, you know, no paycheck for a couple weeks, for most people, it's difficult.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out, I don't want to create this reoccurring, like, oh, let me get a draw or let me take a draw against my future commissions or whatever. I'm trying to figure out how to get some money into their pocket.
Right. You can run it that way. And maybe you just do it that way. Maybe you just do it that way up front.
Just say, hey, here's a draw against your future commissions. But really the way we're going to run this is based on closings and your $17,000 revolving bonus limit is also, you know, based on closings, not based on monies received. So it's not like, if we get 3 assignment deposits today and it breaks 17, I'm not paying you today, and it's based on the closings.
That's how Rob has it set up, based on the closings. Gotcha. Yeah, but again, you get the human. This is just the reality. You get the human element, and somebody comes on, and maybe they're killing it, and they're just. I mean, they're just. This is the life situation, and.
Right.
You know, it's you may hire a salesperson that can go 6 months without a paycheck, but it's not common.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
So,
I got to get them to a paycheck as quickly as possible so that they can get, you know, more motivated. He's doing really well, but I see that this could possibly be something coming at me, and I just need to be prepared for it and have the right answer.
Yeah, and this is the right question because now you're moving into team manager, and how do I keep everybody on board, and how do I not let this person go? And you know, he's got a mortgage to pay coming up on the first every month, and kids to feed, and whatever the situation. So, that's where you'll just have to, you know the situation, understand what can be done. But yeah, I mean, that's really common. I mean, Rob has, you know, salespeople and they'll make some exception here or pay on this there.
Right.
Yeah. Do what you can to, especially out of the gate, compress
okay.
the time frame to closing. Maybe,
yeah.
maybe they tie up a deal, Darren, that you're going to flip. And so, you know, you can control the private
yeah.
money on that and just, hey, this thing's ready to go. Let's close on it at the end of the week. Or, you know,
right.
you're, the fact that you're asking is, you know, shows that you're thinking about the right stuff. I mean, how do you get them paid?
Okay.
And then,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you'll,
yeah.
what I guess my roundabout answer is you'll figure it out. If you have non-refundable money in the bank and you want to say, hey man, let's do this in the future. These are going to be tied to closings, but you know,
yeah.
I appreciate your help and let's get a check in your hands. So
sure.
it shows good faith
then
on your
real.
Part.
Yeah.
And it really, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. ramps up the motivation.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I mean, they're going to think, wow, I spent, you know, maybe I dialed 8 numbers, but then I spent, you know, 30, 40 minutes on the phone with this person, handed it to Darren. Darren took over, and I'm cashing this nice check. Let's do that again.
Right. Yep.
So.
Yep. So, okay, so I'll come up with something for that. I'm leaning towards probably giving him some money if he needs it, but not an ongoing thing, so... my other question
yeah,
is that I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oops.
Go ahead.
Did you have another thought on that before I go to the
I was just
going
to say long term, you want to tie it to the closings when everything is said and done. That's all.
Okay. All right. And that's
yep.
what the contract will say, too. So.
Yep.
So my next question is more deal specific. It's I've got one under contract that I've been having a little bit of trouble assigning.
Okay.
And I got a call from someone today that is looking for owner financing.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking about structuring a deal where I could get them into the house and do some owner financing. It's I got under contract for $62,500 and I'm trying to sell it for $72,500 and
okay.
for some reason I'm just not getting a lot of action on it. But
right. Why
well,
let's talk about this first. Why do you think that is? Is it price or is it location?
I don't know the answer to that yet.
Okay.
I need to dig into
so that's
that
what you
want to
know.
Because
yeah. regardless, you'll learn something. Those are the only two things, typically. Your price is too high or for the location, or
uh-huh.
it could be nobody's buying there. That I tend to think it's probably price.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably worth looking into a little bit.
Okay.
Here's the question on owner financing. Who's the owner providing the financing, right? When
so
Rob
it
sets it up, Rob brings
yeah.
in private money. They operate it. He and Brad operate it, but they actually buy the house with private money. That's the owner doing the financing. Is that what you're
yeah.
thinking?
Yeah. So I would bring in a private lender, and
okay.
I would get them to come up with $62,500, and then I would sell it for $72,000 or $80,000, and then I would create a second note for the profit minus the down payment that they would give us. So probably somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 I would be looking for. And so
yep.
I know that Rob, the one thing that kind of has me a little nervous and probably will have my private lender a little nervous is in the case of a default, are we foreclosing or are we evicting? And I know that Rob said that his mortgages for owner financing allow him to do eviction versus foreclosure, which is huge. But I just don't
right.
know. I want to do that correctly if I move. That's the one thing that's holding me back. I feel like I can structure the whole deal and make it work.
Yep.
But I feel
and
like I want that conversion.
Yep. And here's one of the things that you have to understand and know is when Rob does owner financing, I shouldn't say that. Or when he's looking to build a portfolio, really across the board, he's always looking into the state foreclosure eviction laws, right? One of the reasons he likes Texas is because it's a quick process, easy to throw somebody out.
Okay.
You know, he was talking about Minnesota, for instance. He said he goes in the wintertime, he said from about October to March, maybe April, he goes, there isn't a judge in the state that's going to throw somebody out on the street. You can fight as hard as you want as owner of the property. And so
ooh.
For that reason, he's not building a rental portfolio anywhere in Minnesota, even if the numbers look good and the deals are there and that kind of thing, right? You go down to Texas, warm year round. So he's looking at some bigger picture stuff here. But here's what I would say. It's gonna be hard to walk this road with somebody else's money if there's any kind of hesitation in your voice. And so make sure, you know, understand what that process looks like. What is the foreclosure process? I mean, you guys have cold winters too. Can owner financing work? It can. Rob, he prefers to do it down in a market like San Antonio, which it's really popular down there. But weather's a part of it, and it's something that a lot of investors don't even think about. I mean, what does the weather have to do with owning a rental portfolio? Well, it has quite a bit, actually, if you're trying to get a judge to toss a family out of their house, which just the way it is. I mean, it's not right that somebody stays and doesn't pay, but, you know, he just said, it's not going to happen. 20 below outside, they're not going to throw them out. You're going to foot the bill for it.
Sure.
So, yeah, know what's going on around there.
I was just going to say, I know that it's difficult and grueling here in Ohio, but if Rob has some language that I could run by my attorney to see if we can lessen that or turn it into an eviction or less of a process to get them out, I feel like I would move forward with it. I know that he generally doesn't like to share those types of things because every state's different. He doesn't want to be liable, et cetera, et cetera. But at least something I could look at to just say.
Yeah, he'll typically provide something. Say, here's what I use. Get it checked. But, hey, Darren, do me a favor. Shoot an email into the coaching center.
Okay.
And that way, I can shoot him a message and say, hey, there's an email in there that we want to get your input on. Because he'll have some more feedback. I don't want to speak for him when he's not here.
Sure. So. That would be fantastic. Thank you.
Yep. And then figure out if it's price or location. And if it's price, you might just need to renegotiate this thing lower.
Yeah. She's not going to be happy, but okay, awesome.
Yeah,
thanks. I'll let some other people get their questions answered. I have a couple more, but I'm gonna let other people go, and then if later at the end there's more time, I might have some other questions.
Sounds good. Who else? Questions.
What's up, buddy?
And updates. Hey, are you feeling good finally? I'm gonna ask you until you tell me yes.
My sinuses are clearing up.
Good. You sound pretty good.
Yeah, but I went down on my hip Friday real bad. I need a hip replacement so bad, but I can't even barely stand up. So.
Ouch! But, I know those are effective. My mom's on double hip replacements. She walks better than way better than she ever did prior. So it's a pretty.
My
cool
surgeon.
Surgery.
I got to get my dental work done first, and that's pretty expensive too. So he's waiting on that, and he won't give me any pain meds. So,
man, your wife is just thinking you are an expensive spouse. Dang.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So. But anyway,
let's get 30 more wholesale to cover all that.
Man, I'm working them hard. My $5,000 deal that the lady has that I probably won't be able to move her property. She never signed and returned the contract, so I don't know.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm not crying over it, but
yeah, she might have done you a favor and saved you some time.
Yeah, she was supposed to go to the library and print it and scan it and send it back on Saturday, and I haven't heard back from her. And but I got some more leads, and I got one a guy had, and then he said, "Well, I just got a postcard from you today." And it's about a house across the street. I said, okay. He said, I'd rather sell it. I said, well, okay. So
nice. So he's got a couple?
Yeah, he's got a couple. You know, one's from vacant and the other one's a direct mail, but same thing.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Same street. I just didn't get the picture of the other one I sent the postcard on, I guess. It was from a list, but that's okay. I got a couple of leads working. So,
yeah.
And I started on my assessment of my new markets. And,
good.
New Orleans comes in at 5.9. So,
yep. It's a little on the lower side, but.
Yeah.
it's still it's, you know, we'd rather be closer to 12. I think New Orleans has some pockets that, you know, I mean, you're a sharp guy. You can go ahead and figure out.
Yeah, when you look at it overall, I mean, the average list price is like $300,000, but that's because all that money down there, you know? I mean,
yeah.
There's, you know, it's kind of misleading. So
it is.
And the growth, the growth was way on the plus side on the MSA chart, but I think that has to do with, it's from 2010, and I think that had to do with where people were coming back from Katrina.
So here's what you do. Here's what you do. If you're ever up in the air about it, you just jump online and start finding locals, wholesalers, property managers, hard money lenders, real estate club organizers, meetup group organizers, and just ask them.
Yeah.
Hey, I buy in here. I'm thinking about buying and selling New Orleans. What's the market like down there? People
yeah,
getting
get
deals
my brother
done?
In
are
his truck
and
start
on?
Taking pictures.
Are they buying rentals? Are they is it a buy and hold market? What's the lay of the land? And get hear from the locals what's going on. They'll tell you.
Yeah, I think you just gotta stay away from the Ninth Ward. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of those cities that has, you can play here and you can't play here. So what?
That's kind of like Birmingham, you know. Birmingham doesn't even come in at 4. Can you believe that?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
hey, what's
the current
that
numbers are.
What's that what? Paint Me a Birmingham country song? What does that mean?
I'm in Birmingham tonight. I don't know.
I got sidetracked there.
Yeah. So,
there's a.
But anyway, you know, my brother's down there, and he knows the area real well too. So.
Okay.
So I think I just need to kind of go for it. So.
You've got some local intel.
Yeah.
And, that's one of those recommendations that we give out quite a bit. Well, you know, when you're, you know, people that are on step one and they say, I've got it narrowed down to these three, I don't know where to go. You know, we almost always ask, do you know anybody in those areas that could help jumpstart your team? And so you have boots on the ground already.
Yeah. Well, so, I ran Memphis too, man. It came in low.
Yeah.
I know Rob's doing there, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Well, it's a popular turnkey rental market, and it's kind of known for it around Memphis and outside of Memphis.
Yeah,
it's kind of known for that. So, yeah, Rob just dropped in and said, hey, we know there are turnkey buyers in town. Let's just take this. And that's the thing, right, you guys? You can – once you know how the pieces come together, that doesn't mean that you can't just modify something, or – you go into this market and say, hey, there's this massive pool of buyers looking for this. Well, I can go turn on vacants that just nobody does. You know, I mean, some people will buy the vacant list, right? Those are pretty popular now, but there's nobody hires bird dogs to go look at these things. Very, 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 very few. And so he went into Memphis and said, hey, we know we can move these to turnkey buyers. He and Brad know how to do construction. And they just said, knock it out. Brad loaded up the Airstream, threw the family in it, went to Memphis for a couple weeks, saw a couple sites on the way there, saw a couple sites while they were there, met some contractors, you know, called it a business trip, got the family out for a vacation, kids were out of school, and so now they're running construction on all these deals and selling to turnkey buyers. So,
yeah. Yeah, that was my second choice just off the cuff, but –
Yeah.
But it came in at, you know, even the, it was under 4 on the B ratio. Yeah. Yeah, but I know a lot of people are investing in Memphis too. So, I mean, that's kind of my second choice just because.
There's a lot of action there. You know, Darren lives in the middle of it in the Ohio cities, Cleveland and Columbus. They're just, you know, the stereotypical ton of activity. It's right. The stereotype is on.
I'm Southern born and Southern bred, so I feel like staying in the South, I think. So
yeah, stay South.
I'm going to get busy with that. And I got Tuesday's Gone with the Wind tomorrow. I'm closing tomorrow on that one deal. So
beautiful.
So that's cool there.
Yes, sir.
About 14 days from contract, so that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Yeah,
I'll
you know, Darren, back to your – back to your new salesperson, that's what you got to push for on these early ones to get that payday, right?
Right.
Short, compressed time frames. It's not always possible. A lot of times it is. I mean,
yeah.
You have a good buyer's list. You've got a motivated seller that says the sooner the better. You know, get those
sure.
suckers moved. So,
sure. We're
anything
try,
else, John?
No, I might have some questions
market.
As I go forward, but I'm just gonna
yep.
start diving into New Orleans and call
perfect.
My brother and all the real estate connections and see what's going on. So.
Yeah, call yeah. the. I mean, you know how to look up the data, map it out.
Yeah.
You've got your brother on site there, who can do any number of things for you. You know, generate
right.
some leads, run a contract, go see a house. What kind
yeah,
of work
I just need to
do?
need to get virtually set up in Birmingham now. It looks like until I can get around. So, yeah, I got to
yeah,
go look at two
be,
houses Wednesday.
You're going to be
yeah.
homebound.
Hopping around. I mean, I can get around, but it hurts. It hurts.
I bet.
But, man.
I bet.
Yeah, I have a vascular necrosis, so if you want to look it up one day. So
I don't even know if I can spell it, but I'll try.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a DIY channel on YouTube about hip replacement that you could probably follow along the video. Just go step by step.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, My surgeon didn't have much sympathy.
Not even one laugh out of that, John.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Hey, there
is.
That was funny. There is. I'm sure there is.
All right.
Look,
get you healed. All right,
buddy.
Captain. Yep.
Right.
Who else?
Bye.
Questions about hip replacement? Steps 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. We're covering it all. Covering it all. Somebody has a question about something. I just know it. Then again, I could be wrong. So, Darren, what were your other ones? You said you had a couple more.
Well, I'm just thinking I'm going to be hiring this disposition manager, which I really need the most because that's the work that I created for myself here in the last couple days.
Right.
And I can see, you know, I'm doing a lot of training and spending a lot of time with these guys. It's taken away from my other business. So I bring this new guy on as a dispositions manager, and I'm wondering, you know, what's the first thing that I have him do to start building up buyer network in Pittsburgh? I know that we'll have a couple contracts for him to sell.
Yep.
But, you know, what would be the first thing that you would have him do to start getting
yeah, I would
fired.
Just log into the coaching center and just have him go through step five, and
gotcha.
All the above. Yeah, you've got to put him on full speed ahead. Any idea? So,
right,
you know, lead swiper campaign. Anybody posts in Pittsburgh that they're buying houses or looking, got to get on the
yeah.
phone with them. You know what? We don't have any inventory currently, but we will here in the near future. And that's how you have them word it, and just start building relationship with these people. So anybody you currently know there
yeah.
in town, have them get on the phone with. If you want to send out a text that says, hey, I've got a new guy on the team, it's a cool reason for you to send a text to the buyers that you work with. Say, oh, you know,
yeah.
Dan's team is growing. He must be moving and shaking. And he can get on the
yeah.
phone, introduce himself, go through some of the conversation, get him used to some of the scripting. What are you going to be asking buyers about, you know, about the what zip codes do you like? You know, do you pay cash? Do you use private money? Where does your financing come from? You know, if I have a deal, another way to ask that, you know, since you're asking somebody you just met about money is to say, you know, hey, from time to time, we'll get a deal across the table, but it's got to close inside of 7 days. Is that something you can pull off?
Gotcha.
I'd like to know that.
How liquid they are.
Yeah, because that'll elude, based on their answer, you'll get a pretty good idea if they have cash sitting in an account or if they're going through some kind of financing using hard money and they say, nah, my lender can't move quite that quick, so now you know. You know, this is all intel that you want to know, because then you get that deal that says, hey, I'll sell it to you if you can close in 7 days. And then that, you know, your dispositions person has to know exactly who to call first that can actually make that happen. So, just get them through the training, log them in. and then have them start just talking to any buyer that they can, you know, find or reach out to or online, you know, start doing the research.
Okay.
You'll pull the cash buyer list from FreedomSoft, have your VA skip trace that. You could do that at any time just to get the research done. So that when,
yeah, let me add that.
So when this person's on board, you've got some names and numbers for them to dial.
Right. One seems, you know, while we were talking about that seems to be the hardest one for my skip tracer to actually skip trace from.
Try Secretary of State websites. I don't know how Ohio works, but in Colorado, if you've got a corporation or an LLC registered in the state, you can just look it up online. You don't really go to Intellius for that one. You're just doing some online research for the most part. Looking up the address. If it's in a big building, maybe you can get a phone number, maybe somebody else in the building, maybe it's a U.S. bank building, and you're calling up saying, hey, I'm looking for XYZ company. You have a phone number for them by chance, whatever. If you've got a single person and an address, you're going to Intellius. If you're trying to look up a business name, you're not going there for the most part.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, because I sent over, like for Cleveland, I sent over 50 or 75 leads, and I think I got 20 back or something.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is you can get a direct mail piece out to those. And that's what Tom was talking about. Now he's climbing up in Canada, and instead of sending a typical buyer, he was going to send a postcard. He had, I think you were on Thursday, or I know you were, but he had a postcard with mountains on it, and he was just going to fire it out to the buyers that he pulled in FreedomSoft. So when you actually pull that list, we typically, you know, we just want the multiple deal buyers, which is usually the first 3 to 5 pages on that search. But there's a button at the top that says export to direct mail or export to CSV, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just grab that address, put it into a direct mail campaign, and drop them a piece of mail too.
Got it.
So that would be, skip trace the ones you can find, or, you know, skip trace them all, see if you can get numbers. If not, you at least hit them with direct mail, set up a campaign for it, a buyer campaign. But yeah, you can. That's all stuff you can do now ahead of getting this person on board.
Right.
That piece of the business is about the relationship. I mean, it is about the good deal, right? I mean, you bring a good deal, but you start getting to know a handful of buyers that are legit. I talked to one guy. I thought this was a cool idea. He was down in Florida, and he had all these buyers, and he's like, I'm sick of dealing with all these people. I want to deal with 5 people that I know can close. And so he had a buyer's list. He sent out an email, and he said, I'm taking 5 VIP buyers. It's going to be $1,000 a year to be on my VIP list. When I approve those 5, all of my deals are going to U5 first. If none of the 5 VIP buyers take it, then it goes to the rest of the list. Who wants to be in? And he had 5 people. I mean, he had more than that, but he picked 5 that raised their hand. And I was talking to him. He rarely moves a deal outside of those 5 buyers. He knows them. They know him. There's a relationship in place. He knows they can close, and deals go to the closing table without, you know, I mean, if there's a title issue or something like that, causes a hiccup. But outside of that, financing shows up, earnest money's deposited. He just took some of the nonsense out of it. So, if you're just building a buyer's list, you're not there yet, but keep that in mind. I thought that was a killer idea. Whether you charge your VIP buyers to be on your list or not, that's just a sweet idea. So, you know, back to my point where it's about really you build the big buyer's list so that you can build a relationship with a handful of investors that are serious. And then you take a lot of the headache out of wholesaling. Just sell to the same 5 people.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's a process, right? But
yeah,
once
you get it set
up, that's where it can go.
Right.
You know, the reason we've talked about it before. The reason you build a buyer's list of 200, 300, 400, 500 is so that you have 5 with cash that are buying multiple deals on a monthly basis. And you'll, once you have that, sometimes you don't have to talk to 200 buyers to find them. You know, you use some of these methods we're talking about, and you can get into those conversations quick. Never stop building the buyer's list, because that's a place where you can ask, you know, about private money. Just who knows what comes out of that. That's when you tap into the network. We were talking about it. That's your audience as a wholesaler. Every online marketer wants to build a big audience, because if you have an audience, you can monetize it. And in this business, that's your buyer's list. You know, you can ask who out there is looking, you know, looking for a passive investment in real estate, and talk to private lenders. You know, you can ask who of you know a landlord. I'm looking to set up a relationship with a landlord that owns over 100 doors. Anybody you can refer me to. You just fired your GC. Who has a great GC they know? You know, they could use some work that I could give business to. And you just tap into the network.
Tell me, I missed the first part of that thing that you said, that when you need someone, you tap into what network, and what was your
buyers,
tactic?
Your buyer list. It's just a group of other investors that have access to cash. So,
right.
You know, Rob will periodically send out, he'll word an email like, hey, Darren, you know, you've been on my buyer list for a while now. I know you're an active buyer in real estate. Do you ever park capital, in somebody else's deal as a passive investment?
Ah,
that kind of thing, you know, just to ask the question. I've heard of a few opportunities.
Private.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, it's that audience piece that you can tap into. So, you know, that's one of the things that Rob never stops doing. He never stops finding new buyers. It's automated now. He's got websites out there, and you know, somebody else will send the direct mail, but ultimately you're looking for that, for those 3 to 5 buyers who are active on a monthly basis. But that doesn't mean you stop building the buyers list, because it keeps your audience expanding. I mean, you can tap into that. You've got a buyers list. You can tap into that when the business needs to grow. Online marketers do this all the time. They don't post an ad on Craigslist. They just send an email out to their audience and say, hey, here's what I'm looking for. You want to apply, and pull somebody from their network.
Huh.
So happens all the time. Anyway, that's your audience, your buyer's list. So keep it growing. But you can go into there. So Darren, let's say, I don't know how many buyers you know there in Cleveland, but whatever. Let's say it's 50 or 100.
The issue is not Cleveland, it's Pittsburgh. So I do.
Right.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying here.
This
so
is where
I'm like
going.
Brand new
this
flash.
Is where I'm going.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Cleveland buyers. Hey, it's Darren. You know, in the past, I've always brought you deals in Cleveland, but here's what's cool. I'm about to launch Pittsburgh. If you're interested in Pittsburgh or know somebody who is, hit me up. And just either take Cleveland money to Pittsburgh, or somebody on your list knows somebody over there. Knows, hey, I know a wholesaler in Pittsburgh, or I know this person, and yada, yada, yada.
Love it. Wow, and I
yep.
could probably also hit up the 700 or 800 realtors that I have in my other campaign to even ask the same questions.
I don't see why not.
Right.
Yep. The power of the network. Just have to ask, right?
How do you make that? This is Mike Riley. How do you make that work for title companies?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you've got a buyer's list and say, hey, I'm having title issues. Who knows a great title company in town that they're closing with? You know, don't drop names if you're having issues, but we just ask them, who's the investor-friendly title company in town? Who have you had a good experience with? And you can even go beyond that and say, you know, who's your favorite closer? At the end of the day, you know, closer or attorney. So John's been telling this story about a closer or an attorney that they couldn't get this deal closed with. And
yep.
the seller insisted on using this specific attorney, coucouldn't figure it out, dragging their feet. And John says, hey, let me get this to somebody else. I think we can get it closed. And then within what, 10 days, John, you've got this thing lined up and done. And so there was a gal, Shannon, years ago when I ran acquisitions for Rob, and we heard about Shannon, so we started working with her. About a year and a half into it, Shannon changes title companies. We took all of our business to the new title company. We don't care where you hang your license. We just want to close with Shannon because Shannon gets it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what title company you work at. and we did every closing with Shannon. Shannon had kids, got out of the business. So then I'm thinking, okay, you know, Scranton, okay, who am I going to talk to? So I've got a buddy, Paul, here in town. He said, you got to close with Aaron at Title Assure. And I was like, all right, call Aaron up. Aaron and I had a conversation. How's it going? She explained to me what's going on, yada, yada, yada. I haven't closed the deal with anybody else since in Denver here.
Wow.
So just because Aaron gets it. Why go somewhere else if I've got a closer or an attorney who just knows what we do? And, you know, she's somebody you can call up and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. How do I structure the title or the closings, or what can I do? What can I do? And then, you know, she'll just answer my questions. So that, you know, yeah, Mike, so to answer your question, whatever it is you're looking for, contractor, GC, property manager, you can ask all that stuff of your buyer's list. Who do you recommend?
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Love it.
Anything else? Hey, John, do you always close with the same attorney when it's your contract?
I have a preference that I like to use, but when I got, you know, these institutional buyers that, you know, will perform, then, you know, I mean, there's no reason not to go with them. But, yeah, I'd rather use – I've got one that I use because she gives me – and I follow her around. Like you said, you follow that Shannon girl around.
Yeah.
And she moved and, you know, I can get prelims done from her without any issue and stuff like that. So yeah, I prefer to use one, but it just depends on the buyer.
That's it.
You know, if it's somebody I don't know, we're going to my place. So
that's it.
So that's how I do it.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's the goal. You know, when we close in Denver with Aaron, we close a day or two before. It depends on the buyer, the sell, but we always close at the same Starbucks. We meet down there. We're not closing at any title office. You know, she drives up to this side of town, so it's convenient. We've closed at Panera Bread, wherever. walk in, the documents come out, Aaron has her act together, we sign, and we're out of there in 10 minutes. I mean, if it takes more than 10 minutes, we're just chit-chatting about how's business, and then she asks about our kids and yada, 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 right? It's all small talk, but... Just you know, she just knows how to take care of it and understands what we do. So
yep.
That's a key member of the team. You know, Rob, when he goes in too, he went down into San Antonio and said, hey, I want to own a finance down here. I'm gonna meet an attorney. So I think he knew of this guy, but he runs a real estate club in San Antonio. So Rob reaches out to him. Now he's got a platform, right? Obviously, Rob does, been training for a long time and this, that, and the other. Well, he did a live event here a few months back, and he invites the guy. And he says, hey, come out and join us at our event. And so this guy comes out, you know, sat in the crowd, took some notes, was a part of the event. Rob took him up on stage, said, you know, here's an attorney. You want to ask him some questions? So he brought it to the event. Now, he has that platform. If you don't, that's fine. How can you get him plugged in? Ultimately, he was looking for somebody reliable that he could say, hey, I want to structure owner finance deals. Tell me how you do it down here. And he just used some of his platform. I mean, you could call somebody up like that and say, because this guy's an attorney, but he also buys. He's an investor. Obviously, he runs this real estate club. So he buys deals, fixes them up, and sells them owner financing. So he's active, plus he's the attorney. He got up at Rob's event and said he makes more money flipping owner finance deals than he does as an attorney, quite a bit more, actually. But the attorney piece gives them, it helps him with leads. Obviously, he stays involved on the legal side of it. He's got a legal team, still enjoys it, but he just wears both hats. So it's just a matter of, you know, hey, I'm going to a new place. I don't know exactly how this works there. How am I going to plug in? I mean, you could reach out to somebody like that, though, and say, hey, I'm going to be selling some great leads. You know, what do you do? I'd like to call you first. I know you're legit. I know you're a buyer. Bam, 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 and get that relationship going. You know, you might get some free legal advice out of it, or hey, you know, if I flew down there for a weekend, can we go to lunch?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, cost you a couple hundred bucks, but I mean, you have, you know, now you have access to the guy in town who's an attorney who knows how to answer your question. So now Rob has a question on an owner finance deal. I mean, he can just call him. There's a relationship there. He's not going to bill him for the hour that he's on the phone because Rob can feed deals to him and they can do business together. So it's just, you know, it's outside of real estate. It's just business. But, you know, what can you bring to the table? How can you get it? How can you get the problem solved? Who knows the answer to your question? You know, Rob, I mean, Rob knows, his knowledge base on real estate just blows my mind. He still comes up from time to time with something. He said, hey, I need to know more about this. So, you know, he just goes into, who knows that answer? How do I find him? How do I get a hold of him? How do I approach him? You know, sets up the relationship. So, and that, you know, that's not real estate stuff. That's just business stuff.
Go to New Orleans.
What's that?
Let's go to New Orleans.
Well, yeah. I mean, John, now you're going to, yeah, NOLA, right?
Yeah, now I'm going to see my brother and my favorite sister-in-law.
Yeah, and it's all write-off.
Yeah, well, she's a nutcase, but that's all right.
Wow.
Well, you know, they stayed with us during Hurricane Katrina, and they moved in their dog and cat and ran my dog and cat out of my own house. And,
nice. You know,
I did a jig when she left. I can guarantee you
I
that.
I bet.
Yeah. She was a trip, but anyway, yeah.
Good old family.
Good, Mike.
Yeah,
I got a couple new questions. Opened up these disc test results, and not exactly what I was looking for, but maybe you can help me navigate this. So the first guy came back as a very high D, like a 27 out of 28.
Yep.
A low I, a low S, and a high C.
Yep.
So what
sounds
about
like
that
me.
Type of result?
He'll be fine. He'll be my guess.
He'll be fine. Okay. Because I was looking for that high I, but he got a very low
I. They don't have to be high D and high I. You just want one or the other that's high on the chart.
Ah.
Yeah, that person is a driver. Yeah, a lot of times people have two driving, they'll have one that's bigger than the other, but it's really common for two traits to stand out above the others. That's what the disc test will show you. Some people are pretty well rounded, but for the most part, you'll be highest in one, you'll have another one that drops off a little bit, and then the other two will tend to be lower on the chart for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably going to be cautious a little bit, though, for the high C.
And here's the thing, you can read about them. Get to know what the different traits are, and then you can look up the different shapes, right? So you can go to disc.com, or a lot of times it's at the latter pages of that report. But it'll tell you about that individual. Here's what they'll be good at, this, that, and the other. But, yeah, high D's a driver. So you can give that person a goal and say, go knock this out, and, you know, they'll typically be the bulldozers of the world where they just say, get out of my way. Yep. Rob's a 28 out of 28 D.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, though, for any of you who know him or have been around him or at an event, like he would make the worst therapist in the world, right? He would say, shut up, get over it, and here's how you fix it. And that's not what anybody going through an issue needs to hear. And it's not, you know, he's just not wired for it. Other people are wired for it.
Right.
He just isn't. He just sees a goal and, you know, just sets the target and goes.
Man, that so explains why when my wife comes to me with an issue, instead of me just listening and saying, oh, I feel so bad for the blah, blah, blah.
Darren, you're probably high D, I would guess.
What's that?
I would guess you're high D.
I'm a high D, high I, like a 27 or 28 on the D and a high I. And so
Darren was telling me
being emotional.
We're having a conversation at this event we were at, and he goes, yeah, I usually go to bed here, put our daughter down. Then I get up from, I don't know what your hours were, and then I go back to work at like 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, you're a D. That's just all there is to it. You're high D on the disc test.
Yeah.
That's just how you're wired. So
right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, those things are spot on. They're cool.
All right, so last one. So this next guy, he
yeah.
looks really flat, like he's right in the middle on the D. He's slightly
yep.
higher, like a 19 on the I. His highest
yep.
trait is a C at 21.
Yep.
And he's a low S. So I don't know.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm not an expert on the disc test results by any stretch. Read
yeah.
through there, probably not a dispositions person. That's what you'll have to determine. Maybe more leads manager type. Is
yeah.
that the part-time person or the?
That's the part-time guy. Yeah.
Yep. And he was a traveling salesman and then took a job at the desk at Home Depot. Right?
Yeah, I guess he was pretty successful sales guy too, out on the road, like talking to big executives and selling products or selling
well, here's
to the company.
Here's the thing. The S's and the C's will connect with people. The high D's, Rob can come off a little harsh. And it's just, you know, we talk about it and we kind of joke about it at the office, but he's very direct, very to the point. Not that he
yeah.
knows how to connect with people, but Rob and I are pretty opposite. So I like to connect first. So, you know, Rob will call, you'll answer the phone. He goes right to business. If I ever call, and I've talked to you, a lot of you by phone, but you answer the phone and, you know, I tell you it's me. And then I say, how's your day treating you? And I want to know how you're doing first before we talk business. And it's just how I'm wired. So, you know, that's not to say that he couldn't be really productive. He could be okay even on the disposition side, just building incredible relationships with your buyers list. At the end of the day, people like doing business with people they know, like, and trust. So,
So maybe he might be a better guy, even though he can only come in 2 days a week in the beginning. He might be the better guy to build relationships with my buyers.
Could be, yeah. Dig into those results a little bit, and then look at his shape that you can find online. You know, the shape of the chart, and it'll start talking about it. But
yeah. It says
yep.
that there's a classic. It says at the bottom of this, the classical pattern. His is called an appraiser. So I guess I'll just have to read what that means.
Yep. You got it.
Not what I want. I wish it was just sky high on D and I, so I could just go, yep, this guy's good.
You got one out of two. That's not bad. Hey, that's not to say that. I mean, if you have everybody on the team as a D. I mean, the company will come unglued, right? Because nobody's organized behind the scenes, shuffling paper, doing all the work.
He might be the guy to do your valuations.
The appraiser.
Yeah.
It takes yeah. I mean, some people like to crunch the numbers. They like the data. They like the desk work. It just depends.
Hey, I got a guy I partner with sometimes. He's a former appraiser, man, and he can be a jerk, but he knows what he's doing. So.
Yeah,
but he's a high D. I know. I mean, I haven't never given him the test, but I guarantee you, this guy knows a high D, without a
yep.
doubt.
Yeah, Darren, you'll just have to see if it's the right. I mean, this is a lot of the hat you wear now, and this is the hat you need to wear if you want things to grow. It's either you do it all or you start putting a little effort into building the team, and then watch what happens.
Just allowing this guy to be on the phones for a week and a half I'm just so happy that I don't have to make those calls myself because I
yeah,
don't need
you'll
to.
You'll never
I don't
go
need
back.
To.
Nope.
No way.
Definitely not.
Because I was only finding like 45 minutes a day and it'd be in between this meeting and this meeting where I would like, all right, I got to make calls. I got to get something done today.
Right.
So I would log in
right.
and like try
hard.
To crank out 10 calls, but
hard to build
no
momentum.
Way.
Yeah.
No.
Hard to build momentum.
Right. So,
yes, sir. Yeah. See if there's a spot on the team. It's a yes. It's a no. Or it's a not now. Maybe in the future.
It's a yes or a no. I like that because people. It's hard to say. Tell people that they've been rejected too. Like, hey, we're sorry at this time. They're we're not going to move forward with hiring you. That's not an easy call.
Well, you know what the disc test does is it kind of gives you an out. So here's the thing, man. I use this test. This thing is so flipping accurate. And you can say, here's the thing. This is the position that's open. You know, based on how you're wired, be honest, you're just not a great fit for it. But, you know, nobody likes to hear no. But, I mean, honestly, Darren, if I put you in this role, you'd be miserable. The test tells me so. This isn't what you want to do. Or this won't be, you know, good for either of us. So that can either steer towards, here's where I think you'd be a better fit. Let's have this discussion because I need this done on the team as well. Or, you know, now that you have this, you know, keep this in mind. This is the kind of position that you can kind of turn into the educator with. Not, you don't have to know the DISC test inside and out, but you can go back. You're about to read what's about that profile, and you can go back and now teach on, because you'll remember a few bullet points. You know, this is really what you're looking for. And, you know, I don't have it, to be honest, at this point in time. Something changes down the line, and, you know, I'll sure give you a call, but this is where you'll be happiest doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it really gives you an out or a way to let people down easy, because you're blaming the test. It's not you.
Yeah, like the test result prerequisite. That's what I did when I hired that girl that didn't work out. So.
It's a prerequisite, and it's you say, hey, man, hiring outside of this thing is not, it's not beneficial for either of us. Because you're going to get in here, and you'll just hate what you do. And that's not fun. You know, you want something where you love coming to work, don't you? Well, of course I do. Okay.
Right.
So it makes Noah a little easier, quite a bit easier.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, for me to be on the phones like Sawyer is all day, calling people, not talking to many people. I mean, for the most part, it's hang-ups and hey, you got the wrong number and blah blah blah. That job would drive me nuts all day, but somehow he's just cranking through it, just doing it. And
you know what? Phone salespeople, they're just energized by it because they hang up the phone and they're like, when's the next one going to hit? When's the next one going to hit? You know, when you're running a sales floor and you've got salespeople in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's a bell or a buzzer or a,
Wolf of Wall Street.
One of the rules, we don't talk about it a lot here because it makes sense to grow with one salesperson. But the rule of thumb in the industry is you don't hire one salesperson. You at least have to have two because they'll compete against each other. One will be ringing the bell. The other one won't. They'll get motivated by it. They'll be like, I'm going to sit here until I'm ringing that bell. And so you get an active sales floor, and it's a bunch of highly competitive salespeople, and they literally hit a bell because everybody's on the phone, but they literally hit a bell when somebody makes a sale, and it's just that little reminder about, right? And then you always post their goals in the office for every other salesperson to see, or their results. So you kind of feed into this competitive nature. And right, like you were saying, is the thought of calling 100 people today makes you want to gag, but there are career phone salespeople that, you know, I've talked to them. They're like, I would blow through 350 numbers a day. And there's like energy in their voice. They say, give me a product that's legit and put me on the phone and watch me make hay. And they just dig it. So it's just, you know, we're wired different. That's all. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about having a couple salespeople in the office. So if you have more than one, you got a whiteboard that's going up that says, you know, Sawyer sales and whoever else and the date and the amount. And you get two people that are competitive in there. You got to post those for everybody to see.
Nice.
I love it. If they've got zeros on the board, it puts a little hustle, a little fire in the game.
Yeah.
So, yep.
I love it. I can't wait to get my board.
how to motivate a sales team. That's your next Google search. Yeah. But yeah, you want to get a high D or a high I in that other seat. I'm telling you. Because then you get the wrong person in that seat and they'll put a couple zeros on the board and it'll make them want to quit. And it'll demotivate them. If you get the right personality in there, those, you know, that kind of stuff will motivate them.
So say that again. missed. You said get the D's and the. I missed what you said.
Yeah, get another D or I in there on the sales team.
Got it. Okay.
So that you can.
That's what I got. It's another high D.
Yep, that's what you're gonna want. Another high D or a high I.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So it's okay that he's a high C as well. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, he just may not be a good fit for the sales team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
If he's high C, then that means he's fruit punch.
Mm.
That wasn't funny either.
How about a nice Hawaiian punch for that joke?
Come on. This is some of my
Man,
best material.
I'm thinking so hard. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
Unbelievable. I don't think it's witty if nobody gets it, right?
Yeah. I'm a high D, so I'm right into the business. I'm
Gonna cancel the stand-up tour I had.
I was laughing.
The launch next month. Yeah.
I had you on mute. I was laughing.
Crickets. Sure you are. the sympathy comment. I appreciate that. All right.
So the crazy thing is, like, I want to ask more questions, and I feel like I need to be doing more stuff, but you can't complicate, like, there's not much more to it. It's not,
Yeah, higher off the test.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just talking about the whole business. Like, I'm like, all right, what questions do I need to ask? What do I need to find out about? But
yeah,
really, you just got to do more of the same. We just got to keep cranking.
Yeah, and you've got the resumes and the, you know, the right thing. So you'll have to decide if this part-time guy is a fit for that role. It doesn't appear to be right off the bat. Read about that shape. I'm not familiar on all the shapes on the profile, on the test. So, but that's what's cool is there's a ton of information out there. On the results from the DISC test. So you'll be able to figure out where this person fits in pretty easy. And they'll either be a fit or they won't. So, but you have 100 resumes to sort through. So there's another salesperson in there. I'm sure of it. Anything else?
I'm good.
Nope. All right. Hey, everybody. Good stuff.
Really interesting session. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for being on, Mike. Yeah, good stuff, everybody.
Thanks, Mike.
Keep your feet on the gas. And any other questions, obviously, bring them into the coaching center. Darren, shoot me that one on the owner financing. Into the coaching email so I can get Rob's input on that. And have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll talk here in a couple days.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, see ya.